This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for January 27, 2012. I'm Natalie Pinsham. I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery today. Topics covered in this podcast are oncology, the skull base, pituitary surgery, and diagnostic and operative techniques. Establishment and characterization of a primary human chordoma xenograft model. A laboratory investigation by Ai Mei Su and colleagues. Chordomas are rare, locally infiltrative tumors that occur in the axial skeleton. The current standard of care for these tumors is maximal resection followed by radiotherapy. Despite this treatment regimen, the median survival for patients with chordomas is approximately 6 years. Investigators at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine have established a preclinical primary xenograft model of chordoma. Previous studies have shown that primary tumor xenografts more closely resemble parental tumors than do cell lines and cell line-derived xenografts. The team, led by Gary Gallier, established this xenograft from a specimen taken from a patient with a recurrent clival chordoma that was directly implanted into nude mice. This xenograft has been continuously passaged in mice for more than 2 years, is histologically identical to the original patient tumor, and maintains high expression levels of brachyury, a marker with high specificity for chordoma. Genomic analyses demonstrated that the patient's tumor and several passages of the xenograft were greater than 99.9% concordant by whole genome SNP array analysis. This study by Su and co-workers is the first to establish a serially transplantable primary chordoma xenograft model. This model will be important for the identification of biological pathways that drive chordoma tumorigenesis and for evaluation of potential therapies. Endonasal management of cellar arachnoid cysts, simple cyst obliteration technique. A technical note by Nancy McLaughlin and co-workers. Symptomatic cellar arachnoid cysts have typically been treated by transphenoidal cyst wall fenestration. Some authors have advocated resection of the cyst wall to increase communication between the cyst and the subarachnoid space, as is done for other intracranial arachnoid cysts. In this paper, the authors describe an alternative approach of deliberately not enlarging the communication between the cyst and subarachnoid space, and instead obliterating the cyst cavity with adipose tissue. Over 10 years, 8 adult patients were treated who presented with headache, pituitary dysfunction, and/or visual loss. In all cases, the cellar communication to the suprasellar subarachnoid space was not enlarged. Postoperatively, headache and vision improved in all affected patients, and partial resolution of endocrine dysfunction occurred in 3 of 4 patients. 2 patients experienced cyst reaccumulation. 1 patient required reoperation. Endoscopy was used in 8 of 9 procedures. From this experience, the authors conclude that cellar arachnoid cysts can be effectively treated by endonasal fenestration and obliteration with fat. By deliberately not enlarging communication to the subarachnoid space, this approach recreates the natural barrier between the cella and suprasella space. In most patients, this technique appears to effectively disrupt cyst progression, although longer follow-up is required. Use of the histological pseudocapsule in surgery for Cushing disease. Rapid postoperative cortisol decline predicting complete tumor resection. A clinical article by Stephen Monteith and co-authors. Subnormal postoperative serum cortisol levels indicate successful surgery and predict long-term remission of Cushing disease. Given the short serum half-lives of ACTH and cortisol, it is unclear why the decline in cortisol postoperatively is delayed for 18 to 36 hours. Furthermore, the relevance of the rate of cortisol decline immediately after surgery has not been investigated. Results obtained in patients who underwent tumor resection in which the histological pseudocapsule was used as a surgical capsule were compared with those in patients in whom a piecemeal technique was used. The median time to reach a cortisol level of less than 2 micrograms per deciliter was significantly shorter with the pseudocapsular technique than the piecemeal resection methods. However, the rate of decline was not as rapid as that seen with total hypophysectomy. Complete resection by other techniques is associated with delayed cortisol decline compared with a pseudocapsular surgery. This may represent the product of residual tumor cells and therefore may explain the higher rate of recurrent disease associated with piecemeal techniques. Compared with that seen in patients who undergo pseudocapsule surgery, the prompt drop in cortisol after hypophysectomy suggests that the corticotrophs of the normal gland can secrete ACTH for 10 to 36 hours after surgery, despite prolonged and severe hypercortisolism. Preoperative identification of the facial nerve in patients with large cerebellopontine angle tumors using high-density diffusion tensor imaging. A clinical article by Neil Roundy and colleagues. Identification of cranial nerves using magnetic resonance and diffusion tensor imaging is not a new concept. However, cranial nerve identification in the setting of large deforming tumors makes rapid visualization difficult. This is, in part, due to the nerve being thinned by and intimately adherent to the tumor capsule. In this paper, the authors prospectively studied patients with large cerebellopontine angle tumors undergoing resection with a novel imaging modality they termed high-density diffusion tensor imaging. Tumors were greater than 2.5 centimeters. The method makes use of smaller voxel sizes and more diffusion sensing gradients. This results in a high sensitivity in detecting displaced facial nerves associated with large cerebellopontine angle masses. The authors compared the ability to reconstruct the course of the facial nerve using high-density diffusion tensor imaging with standard methods of diffusion tensor imaging. They were able to accurately identify the facial nerve in all patients using this new method, but only able to reconstruct its course in one patient using standard diffusion tensor imaging methods. The authors suggest that routine integration of high-density diffusion tensor imaging in preoperative planning for cerebellopontine angle tumor resection could lead to improved facial nerve preservation. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.